Hello, and welcome to This Week at Charlestown Road, a branch of the Heavenbound podcast. My name is Jason Harden. I'm here with Roger Schaus, and this is where we reflect in the middle of the week on what's going on in the life of our church family, but also here recently we've been reflecting on what is going on, troubling times in the world around us. This is actually episode 3 in a series that we began last Wednesday on the sinful choice of racism. If this is the first episode you're listening to in this series, we would definitely encourage you to go back and listen to episodes 1 and 2. In many ways, they're just building on one another. We started last Wednesday by talking about how we are all created in the image of God. This past Friday, we talked about the sinful choice of racism. And today, Roger, we want to reflect on a word that when you begin doing some searching in the Bible, it just leaps off the page. Justice.
Justice. The idea of what is right. We see at a lot of courthouses a statue of what's supposed to be justice with a balance in her hands and the idea of rightness. We want to look at justice from a biblical perspective. Now, we might just take a pause here for a moment and think, well, what does this have to do with racism? How does this fit in with racism, Jason?
Justice, as I understand it, and we'll just provide a variety of different passages here in the very beginning, justice is allowing God to be the definer of right and wrong, good and evil. He's the definer. He shapes our understanding. And then, here's the real key, we follow his lead.
God is a just God. We're going to give you some verses. There's a lot of verses that say that. And behind this, the idea of justice is being just or being right. God determines what is right. And what value are their rules? What value is a Bible if God does not expect us to keep that? And with that will come some consequences. And so God is a just God. He is not favored by partiality. He's not favored by injustice or things that are wrong. He wants the standard to be what is right.
Roger, I've jotted down a handful of references. I know you have as well. And I'll just fly through a few of these quickly and then turn it back to you. Maybe you're following along with us and you can open a Bible. I want to remind you, first of all, of just a simple phrase in Isaiah 61, verse 8. Isaiah 61, verse 8. I, the Lord, love justice. Simple enough, right? As his children, we need to learn to love what our Heavenly Father loves. He loves justice. We'll just hit some of these rapid fire. Psalm 89, verse 14, really important principle for our discussion. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Steadfast love and faithfulness go before you. What a powerful idea. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of God's throne. Flowing before him are steadfast love and faithfulness. Roger, while I'm turning to one, what do you have?
I have Micah chapter 6, verse 8. He has told you, O man, what is good. What does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love kindness, to walk humbly with your God? You're going to find in a lot of these verses we're going to share with you, two words that are coupled together. The idea of justice or being just, the idea of righteousness or being right. You can't be just and unrighteous. The two do not fit. So to be just is to be right. To be right is to be just.
Proverbs chapter 31, we often think of that as that passage that reflects on the virtuous woman, but in the verses before that, these are described as the words of King Lemuel that his mother taught him. Proverbs 31, verses 8 and 9, she teaches the king, open your mouth for the mute, for the rights of all who are destitute. Open your mouth, judge righteously, defend the rights of the poor and needy. And so we get the idea. God loves justice. The king ought to love justice. And what does that look like? Speaking up for those who cannot speak for themselves. Defending the rights of the destitute, the poor, and the needy. Roger, what else do you have?
Back in the law, and this is something that was stated several different places, but here in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse 19, you shall not distort justice. You shall not be partial. You shall not take a bribe, for a bribe blinds the eyes of the wise and perverts the words of the righteous. Do not distort justice.
It was built into the law, and you read the Old Testament prophets carefully, and over and over and over again, one of the things that comes through loud and clear, Israel didn't listen to the law. They didn't answer that call of Deuteronomy. So it's no mistake or coincidence that in, for instance, Jeremiah 22, verse 3, the Lord says, do justice and righteousness, and deliver from the hand of the oppressor him who has been robbed, and do no wrong or violence to the resident alien, the fatherless, and the widow, nor shed innocent blood in this place. There it is. It was in the law. Israel had failed to live up to it, and now God is calling them back. Orphans, widows, the resident aliens or immigrants, the people who aren't necessarily like you, do justice. Roger?
Colossians chapter 4, verse 1. Masters, grant to your slaves justice and fairness, knowing that you too have a master in heaven. And again, what we see is that dual relationship there. I cannot be wrong with my fellow man and right with God. The way I treat one another is going to be reflected in how God treats me. Do justice to others because I have a master in heaven as well.
I've got one more. Amos chapter 5, verse 24. Let justice roll down like waters and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. That is what the God who loves justice once.
2 Timothy 4 and verse 8, we think about Paul saying in verse 7, I fought the good fight, I've finished the course, I've kept the faith. The very next verse, in the future, there's laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, not only to me, but to all those who have loved his appearing. God is a just God. God is a righteous God. Again, righteousness and justice, right and fair, just, are the platforms upon what his throne is.
So we hear that passage that you just read, he is a righteous judge. And I think that would be something good to explore here maybe in just a few moments. But let's just back up and explore justice and righteousness as a foundational aspect of the character of our Creator. Roger, when you hear that he loves justice, what comes to your mind?
You know, the first thing that comes to my mind is God is talking about how we treat others. That's manifested in the Ten Commandments. You know, the first three apply to God, the fourth one applies to our parents, and then the rest are relationships with each other. Although they may seem negative, not to commit adultery, not to murder, not to bear false witness, those are all relationship terms. God wants us to do right with other people. God wants us to treat others right. And the reason is, it's a reflection of him. He has treated us right. He expects us to treat others right.
I think what's foundational to any Christian's understanding of this entire issue. When you remove God from the discussion of the ugliness of racism, how to address this problem, how to help people heal, how to bring people into harmony with one another, if we remove God from this difficult equation, really, we are left on our own in a sad, sad state.
You know, we remember as the book of Judges ends, it says there was no king in Israel. Every man did what was right in his own eyes. Well, that just leads to a thousand different definitions of right. What is right? Well, I think it's this. I think it's this. And that would allow for racism. That would allow for prejudice. That allows hatred. Because to me, this is what's right. To someone else, that's what's right. So the foundation of what's right and what's just and what's fair must be God. Why? Because he is the creator. He is the one who made us. We did not make him. And based upon that, his guidelines, his rules, his commandments, this is what's going to define what is just and what is right.
Define, I think, is the key word here. We keep, I'm just trying to listen to myself and listen to you. We keep returning back to some key words here. Right, just, fair. God is the definer of those things. Those are the foundation of his throne. Now, what gets in the way sometimes, as is so often the case with our sins, is pride. That's how we get ourselves into trouble on this issue. If God is the definer of good and evil, and if, episode one, all image bearers of God have the right to be treated with respect and dignity and fairness, then treating others as created in his image, that is right. That is just. That is fair. What might get in the way of me doing that is pride.
And racism stands upon injustice. Mm-hmm. It stands upon the idea that some people are better than other people. Some people have to go by the rules, other people don't. Some people have to answer to me because I think I'm better than you. And so racism is built upon what's not fair, what's not just. And in this climate we're in right now, you hear the expression a lot, injustice. And that's right. That's absolutely right. There are injustices, and there have been some things that have been wrong. Some professional people have acted very unprofessional. Some people in the positions of authority have abused their authority. Some wrongs have been committed. But when for us to come to the table and have a serious conversation about these things, it's not going to be who shouts the loudest. Who has the biggest crowd around him? That group wins. Who has the most political power? Who has the most money behind them? The foundation must be the Lord in heaven. He determines what is right and what is just. And from that, we see that he has an equality for all people. God doesn't have a Bible for white people and a different Bible for black people. God doesn't have a rule for Americans and a different rule for Europeans. God is across the board. And so when we begin with the justice and the fairness of God, then we can have an honest discussion. Then we can say, okay, what does God say is right? How does God say we should treat one another? Based on those things, we can build a bridge to overcome some racism.
How powerful and precious that God has not simply told us what is right. He has shown us in the flesh. When I was thinking about this lane of our discussion, one of the glimpses from the life of Jesus that came to my mind was John chapter 13. And maybe that doesn't leap off the page in a discussion of racism, but let me just take a moment to try and tell you why. You remember when Jesus gathers to observe the Passover in John 13 with his apostles, And there is this ongoing discussion we learn about who's the greatest among them. That was a perpetual argument among the apostles. Which one is the greatest? Who's going to have the choice seats in his coming kingdom? And what did Jesus do in John 13? He got up. He laid aside his outer garments. He took a towel. He tied it around his waist. He poured water into a basin, and he began to wash the disciples' feet. Eventually, he comes to Peter. And Peter, in John 13:8, says, "You shall never wash my feet." Now, why did Peter ask that? I think he asked that because he had an awareness. This isn't right. This is the Master. This is the Christ, the long-awaited Messiah. In fact, Peter had gone so far as to rightly confess, "You are the Son of God." It just seems upside down that you would wash my feet. That doesn't seem just, we might say. But Jesus finishes, and in verse 12, he says, "Do you understand what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet."
Now, there's a couple of things that just jump out of there. First of all, from the character of the Lord, this is God on earth. He didn't drive up in limos. People stand behind the gated, you know, place where they could scream at him, but they couldn't see him. He didn't have a posse around him. He wasn't like a rock star. There's the God of heaven showing humility, showing service, and showing love. I mean, they didn't wear socks and shoes like we do. They didn't walk on sidewalks. They were barefoot or they were sandals. They walked on dirt roads. So their feet were dirty. And the Lord took those dirty feet and put them in his lap and washed them. Among those feet was Peter. Peter, who would this later on deny him three times. Among those feet was Judas, who would soon that very evening leave that group and go get the crowd to come back and arrest Jesus. And how easy the Lord would have said, "I'm not washing your feet," but he did. And then the lesson for the apostles: if the Lord washed the feet of a tax collector like Matthew, a zealot like Simon, a denier like Peter, a betrayer like Judas, you ought to wash one another's feet.
Practically speaking, in Romans 12, we are called not to overcome evil with evil, and we are called not to allow evil to overcome us. We are called to overcome evil with good. And how powerful and precious that God not only told us that, but he showed us that. He did not simply declare from the heavens or the top of a fiery mountain, "I love justice and I expect you to do what is right." He came down and took the form of a lowly servant. And then we've got communications. We started this study in Romans chapter 12. I'll just revisit some of the practical calls to disciples of Jesus. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. We've had ample opportunity to do that over the course of the last couple of weeks. Listen to this. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. That goes back to, Roger, what you read, that he is a righteous judge. And it has been written for a long time, vengeance is mine, I will repay. But to us, to the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink, for by so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good.
Now, let's just, as we're trying to do in this series, be very practical, very open. A lot of the images we're seeing on TV during these last few weeks are angry people shouting things. We see images of obscene words spray painted on all kinds of things. We see people shouting and accusations and a lot of finger pointing back and forth through all of this. All kinds of stuff are filling Facebook and social media, and we can get caught up with that stuff and liking things we shouldn't like and spreading things we shouldn't spread. Through this lesson, what comes to our minds is, what is the right thing to do? That's what God wants us to do. We need to be just. We need to be right. And so sometimes the right thing to do is not the easy thing. Sometimes the right thing isn't the popular thing. You may stand alone because you're doing what's right. Sometimes the right thing is not comfortable to do, but you do it because it is the right thing to do. And so we need to be praying more rather than letting our emotions run with us. We need to realize God's still in charge and not give up hope and become faithless through these times. We may not get all caught up in this mentality of us and them and the divisions, but realize God is just. God is righteous. He wants you and me to walk that same path.
Not us and them, us as all created in the image of God, right? And as we heard earlier from Micah 6, verse 8, he has told us what he expects of us. Number one, to walk humbly with him. But number two, to do justice, love, kindness. And we've got an incredible opportunity right now to speak up, as King Lemuel was called in Proverbs chapter 31, for those who don't have the same opportunities that we have. We've got the opportunity to shine as patient lights in the dark. We've got the opportunity to pour out our anxieties on God. We've got the opportunity just to listen and to weep with those who are weeping right now. So many opportunities open to the child of God. Number one, to allow God to define what is right and to treat others the way we would want to be treated in this difficult time.
I think it's interesting that Micah 6 passage says, do justice. Mm-hmm. Justice is more than a theory. It's more than something I believe in. It's something I do. It's the way I live. It's the choices I make. It's the practice of my life. And so what God expects of you is to do justice, to do what is right. And again, that runs through our minds when it's so easy to type some things out and put it on something about how I feel. Do what is right.
For this episode, let's pull all of the threads together. Our Father loves justice. Justice and righteousness are the very foundation of his throne. Steadfast love and faithfulness, it is as if they flow like a river out of that throne. He has created us, each one of us, in his glorious image, and he has not left us to ourselves. He has provided a revelation to mankind. There's not one revelation for Jew, one revelation for Gentile. There's not one revelation for white and another for black or red or yellow. There's not one revelation for rich and one revelation for poor. There is one revelation he has provided for all of mankind. And within that revelation, there is a standard, an objective standard that teaches us justice, righteousness, love, faithfulness. It is the faith once for all delivered to the saints that teaches us that we might pick it up and use it even in 2020. Use that standard to discern. That's the call to disciples of Jesus in Romans 12. We have been appealed to by the mercies of God. Number one, to present our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is our spiritual worship. Number two, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. Maybe I was raised in a less than just environment. Maybe I have had all sorts of influences in my life that weren't right, that don't point me in the direction of faithfulness. Christians are called to be transformed by the renewal of our minds, that by testing we may discern what is the will of God. His will is good and acceptable and perfect. And so even in 2020, we pick up that standard and we use that standard. We use it as lenses through which to see the world so that we might say, that is just. That over there is unjust. This was right. That was wrong. And it's not on the basis of the color of my skin. It's not on the basis of the color of your skin. It is an objective standard provided by our Father in heaven, our Father who loves justice. As we close this particular episode out and look forward, Lord willing, to Friday, we mentioned there's just a wide variety of passages that could be listed. One that I had down that I didn't read earlier was from Psalm 11. Really, the entire Psalm is a beautiful expression of some of these ideals. The last verse says, "The Lord is righteous. He loves righteous deeds. The upright shall behold his face." So there's a good summary for where we've been. He's righteous. He loves it when we do deeds that are righteous. But earlier in that same psalm, the provocative question is asked, if the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? And Roger, one of the foundations of righteousness and justice that God has established in his word and in his world are governing authorities, right? And so we've tried to add one layer each episode to this whole discussion. Lord willing, this coming Friday, we'll go back to Romans chapter 13. Having established these lenses so far, we're all created in his image. Racism is a sinful expression of human pride. God loves justice. So, okay, we'll take it a step further on Friday. What about this obeying the governing authorities? What about when they're out of harmony with God? What then? What does it look like to, practically speaking, give respect to the one who is due respect? That's an important discussion.
Yeah, and when we get to that layer next time we're together, we have to keep in mind that when the Bible talks about this in Romans, we'll look again on what Peter says about this, because he says a similar thing. We need to remind ourselves he's not talking about the White House.
Mm-hmm.
The application would apply to the White House, but he wasn't talking about a world in which there was democracy and people could vote. He was talking in the world in which there were Caesars in which there was persecution, but still there were some elements there that we have to learn about justice and righteousness and our responsibility toward a government.
It's a challenging teaching, but built on such foundational, solid truths. We're doing our best to walk carefully, reverently, hopefully lovingly through these truths, and we hope that that walk is helpful. It may be that having listened to these three episodes, you've got questions or you would like to talk more. We would love to have that dialogue with you. At charlestownroad.org, there is a simple contact form where if you've got questions related to this, maybe we can clarify or explore deeper into these issues with you. Please don't hesitate to reach out. We hope that it's helpful. We hope that if you have found it helpful, you will share. This world needs God. This world needs Jesus. It needs good news. We know where it's found. It's up to us to apply it and to share it. Roger, thanks for joining me today. Thanks to all of you for listening. We're looking forward to deeper studies along these lines. We appreciate you going on the journey with us, and our prayer is that you will continue to grow with us. Thanks for listening.